My name's Jonathan Bennett, and I'll be reading from Veranda People, a collection of short stories set in and around Sydney, Australia. This excerpt is from the title story, Veranda People. Boys drink, hidden behind trees when they are underage, until they are no longer underage, but young men with apprenticeships, until they are no longer young men with wages in the pocket of their dusty shorts, but young fathers with children and a wife to feed and provide for. Until they are no longer young, but among the dead, in a prisoner of war camp, in a country their mates cannot spell or find on a map, or are made unexpectedly unmarried once again, either by cancer, or a drunk driver, or their swinging fists letting loose on her thankless grin after a long week at work and 13 glasses of beer. Until they are no longer young, but middle-aged and sad, or poignant, or frightened. Until they are no longer working men, but pensioners, diggers, grandfathers, old men, who tell of the times when things were different, all the while knowing they have not changed in any measurable way at all. Marcus listened to the rain, keeping an imprecise rhythm as it fell sharply on the corrugated iron roof. Tonight, his wife's absence was so heavy and certain as to almost stir in the bed next to him. He felt stillness where her shallow breathing used to touch the skin of his neck, and saw nothing where her brown-grey hair once splayed across the pillow in a fan. On their last night in this bed together, some months ago now, he had thought Judith's breathing sounded uncomfortable. She had twitched every now and then, disturbing him, her dreams keeping him awake. But tonight he was left only with the rain, its unorchestrated pings on the roof. The next morning, dry-mouthed and with an unsteady hand, he teaspooned instant coffee crystals into a mug. How could they possibly cure him, he thought, such tiny things. Judith's alarm clock had rung minutes after he'd finally drifted off to sleep. In a rage, he'd torn the plug from the wall. The clock face had cracked as it struck the doorframe. Filling the kettle over the sink, Marcus's eyelids ached as if he forced them to remain open and stung when he allowed them to close. He'd slept like an awkward-limbed teenager, an uncoordinated sleep that performed self-consciously before the edge of the day. Right before the alarm sounded, a single, fractured dream had begun. It made use of the only noise around him, the rain, to create a scene with Judith in the shower, her soapy legs, clouds of steam, and the smooth, familiar strokes of her razor running the length of her shin bone and calf muscles. The alarm woke him up before the blood, before any horror could develop. The kettle whistled. Marcus considered the 20 minutes that remained before he was due at his job, the big place at the end of the point today. The old woman who'd phoned yesterday, quite out of the blue, had asked for a quote on some exterior work, painting a detailed veranda, some stripping, varnishing, and a whitewash. Is it still raining? He wondered. Can't exactly paint outside in bad weather. Marcus stopped and listened, wondering if he was up to it, or why he should be bothered at all. The roof was silent. The kettle stopped whistling, and he poured a cup of coffee that tasted bitter. There was nothing to eat in his fridge, and so he eyed the cereal box on the table. It was his young son, Kevin's, and had been left out since the boy's last visit, a week ago now. This reminded him he must pick up Kevin from school today. It was Dad's turn again. Would he ever get used to this, only having his boy for 24 hours every 7 days? Did she know what she'd done to him and to his little boy? To them all. He had never been unfaithful. He had always worked hard, fed them. Marcus put his hand in the cereal box and crunched on a few sickeningly sweet Fruit Loops, then drank more of his coffee. He felt like Judith's greasy eggs and sausages. He felt like shit. A low mass of lead-coloured cloud hung over the bay, a mist of rain pressing down on the still water. as though it were robbed of oxygen, the strip of bush separating sky from water shed only a faint hue, a blue with red sympathies, almost periwinkle. Gum trees could, in a certain light, appear blue. They were blue now, not as blue as ink, but a light silvery blue. This was the scene upon which Marcus turned his back as he stepped in through the open door of the house beside the bay at the end of the point. He regarded the painting on the wall opposite him. He stood before it like a witness, as if it were the accused. It showed a partial door frame, and through the doorway there were chairs under an overhanging veranda that led out to grass and garden. A sun-filled day, depicted from the inside. He admired the prominent dabs of colour in this typical scene, blues, greens, yellows and oranges. "You're here for the veranda?" Marcus turned towards the old woman's voice. "Yes," he said, noticing she had a touch of England still left in her accent. "My name is Marcus Page." His eyes ran over her thin arms, her slender fingers. "Please include all your expenses, Mr. Page. I don't want anything to be charged extra at the end." She led Marcus through the old house and out to the veranda. "My name is Mavis. This house is called Forby's Rest," she said. Once outside, it was clear to Marcus the scene all around him inspired the painting he'd just viewed. The veranda ran along all four sides of the house. The overgrown garden and grass looked as if it loved this rain. Marcus dug a nail into the wet base of the veranda's railing. With a few twists, he gouged down through the years, through the coats of paint to the wood. He wasn't sure what type it was. He pushed the nail in again. A good hard wood, though, he knew that much. The woman, Mavis, wanted green trim, white railings, varnished floorboards. Alone, the work would take him 2 weeks. Mavis had a blue Jaguar in the driveway. He'd ask for $2,000. Why not? If he didn't get the job, he'd go down the coast fishing with his cousin. What else did he have to do now?